tonight, if you have your Bibles with you, we invite you to one verse of Scripture that's found in the book of Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, and verse 29. Jeremiah 23 and verse 29 for our Scripture reading tonight. He says, "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" Let's read it one more time. "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" May God add His blessing to the reading of His word. And I want us to think tonight on this subject, the word of God as a fire and a hammer. In the days in which that Jeremiah preached, we recognize him truly as a servant of the Lord. He was a prophet of the Lord. As he preached, as he prophesied, many people did not believe his report. They did not accept the message that Jeremiah preached. And one of the reasons was that they did not accept his message, that there were other prophets who were prophesying, who were preaching, and they were not preaching under the authority of God's Word. They were not speaking the truth. But they would preach something, and then they would say, "Thus saith the Lord. This is what God has told me to say." And this was not the case. It was not a message from the Lord. We think of the runner who went to David at the death of Absalom. He ran, but he did not have a message. And so these men, they were preaching, but they did not have a message. They would contradict the things that Jeremiah was preaching. And this thing did not please the Lord, nor did it please Jeremiah. In fact, it was great discouragement unto Jeremiah. But we see in the verse before this, in the last part of it, he says, "What is like the chaff to the wheat?" In other words, God was saying, "Jeremiah, the message that you preach is as the wheat, and the message that they preach are as the chaff that is thrown away from the wheat." And so we find that because men are great orators, because that men can use swelling words, because that men can use flowery description of various things, this does not necessarily mean that they are delivering the message of God. And this was what Jeremiah was confronted with. And so God is saying that the message of my servant is one that is like fire and like a hammer that breaks the rock into pieces. We find over in the New Testament, it talks about a preacher or one having unction, one who has power from God. And whenever someone is preaching, usually you can detect whether they have the unction from on high or whether they're using just descriptive words and they're more or less preaching in the way of entertaining. Now, we can take a hammer and we can strike a rock. We can maybe continue to hammer in it and it will break into pieces. Now, the false prophets, they made to the people to feel comfortable in their sin. They felt like that everything was all right when they would listen to one who was preaching here in the days of Jeremiah and saying, "Thus saith the Lord," when God had no power in it. But when Jeremiah preached, it seemed like that the word had such power that it was as a fire burning within their breasts. They felt this. There was conviction. They were moved by this. And so we realize that the word of God, the message from God, it does have power, that it does work. And also, as we look at it, that it is like a fire, and a fire can be used in two different ways. We can see a fire that can destroy, can burn, and be something miserable. But then on the other hand, a fire can be something that is comfortable. Now, the fire that's in the furnace back here, that the blowers are bringing the heat out, this is used to comfort us. And we, as the children of God, as we study the Word of God, as we read it, It can be a comfort unto us. We can feed on the Word of God. As we study, as we read God's Word, it feeds us as the children of God. And so we need the Word of God to feed on. We need the Word of God because that when we are burdened, there's nobody that we can go to in this world that can bring us a comfort or can relieve this burden like can the Word of God. We need the Word of God. And not only do we need the Word of God in times of burdens, but also we think of the battle that we're in. As we fight, the Scripture teaches us, I believe in the book of Galatians, or Ephesians rather, where he talks about the Word of God, that as we go out, that we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but it is a spiritual warfare that we are in. And so we need the Word of God, we need to study it, and we need to tell the truth of God's Word. God's Word does have power. Then also we look at it that on the other hand, that the Word of God, we need it. But then on the other hand, it's like a fire that brings pain. And I've seen people who were not able to sleep because that they have been burnt. They've been brought in contact with a fire. It has wakened them up. They're not able to sleep. Then also it arouses them. It stirs them up. And as we preach the Word of God, we find that from time to time, that we see people who are stirred up. They're aroused by the Word of God. They get excited about it. And I've seen people who have been almost furious and ready to fight because that you preach the Word of God. They say, I don't believe it. I don't like this thing. It's a fire unto them. And as we preach to them, we give them something to make them uncomfortable. Now, if a lost man can come into our services, and he can sit here Sunday after Sunday, and as the Word of God is preached, or as the Word of God is taught in the Sunday school class, if he can come here Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and he can be comfortable in this, there must be something wrong either in our preaching, or there's something wrong with that individual. But usually, that when a person comes and will be faithful in the service for 4 or 5 Sundays, they begin to squirm. They begin to get miserable. And I've heard you, various ones of you, and I believe this, that if we could get a person to come for 5, 6 Sundays and be regular in all of the services and listen in the service, that they would accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They ought not to be comfortable. If they are comfortable, there's something wrong with us. We need to get them burning. We need to singe them a little bit. We need to scorch them, to let them know that there is power, that there is a fire in the Word of God. And so they'll go out many times and they'll say, well, I can't see this. What they're saying is, I won't accept it. I won't humble myself. I won't believe this thing. And that's why that we today, many of the doctrines of the Word of God that we've had to learn, because the thing has burned in our hearts until we had to receive it. And we'd maybe go away and say, well, I'm not going to listen to this. You say, see people who say, well, I'm not going to listen to it in this church. And they'll go over here and they'll listen to it somewhere else. They don't realize that they have tried to run away from the teaching of God's Word, maybe from by skipping and jumping to various churches. And the truth is still there. And God says, I'll not let you get away from it. And so the Word of God is brought there. It's burning in their heart. And even though they go out in a rage, one day they come back because God is dealing in their heart. And then also the Word of God will burn him to the place that he cannot be comfortable in the Word. And he cannot be there and not be moved. Then also, as we look at it, I think about people who have come off and on in our services. We need to give them the gospel. We need to preach unto them the gospel. And we need to bring them to the place that they cannot go to sleep. They can't be satisfied here or at home. They're under conviction. And this is the way that many of us have been in our times past. We were under conviction. We couldn't sleep. We couldn't eat. We were not satisfied. And then that fire burned within us. It was the Word of God that was bringing the conviction. And then also we realize that when the Word of God is brought to us, that we're made to melt down. There's times in which that we're hard as iron. We say, well, I'm not going to have anything to do with this word. I'm not going to let it affect me. And they try to shove it aside. They say, I don't want to listen to it. And they turn on their radio, maybe going to work. And there's the gospel being preached to them. They say, well, I'm not going to listen to this. They turn on the television and they just leave it on long enough. Maybe to hear a gospel message or a truth that has been preached to them. Or they may go down the street and they say, I'm not going to have anything to do with it. Somebody reaches out, hands them a tract. And they say, well, here, what have they given me? And they read just enough to say, are you saved? Or have you been born again? And that continues to burn within them. And then I see that same individual, that the time comes, one time after another, that it burns and works in their heart to the place that they melt, to the place that they realize that Christ did die for me. And I will accept Him as Lord and Savior of my life. And so they have melted, they have come, become like that we might think of wax in a candle. The heat has been applied. And they've melted down. And some of you were that very way, perhaps, that you said, I'll never accept the Lord as my personal Savior. But you thank God and you've given testimony. Praise God that He continued to work with me until the day that He brought salvation into my heart. And then also we look at something else. The Word of God is as a fire that has a consuming power. Some people today, they say, well, now I will make a profession of faith. And we've had plenty of them that have walked down the aisle here since I've been your pastor, and then from your former pastors that have walked down the aisle and they've said, I've trusted the Lord as my personal Savior. But actually all they've done is turned over a new leaf. They have reformed. They've quit for a little while, but they've gone back into it. And I tell you what, that reform is not enough. To reform your life, to quit some of the things for a season, is not enough. We need to come to the place that we have been born again. This church, I believe that we need to have a revival within our congregation. We need to quit pretending. We need to quit playing church. We need to get down to business. We need to have that burning in our hearts that would drive us out to talk to those that are lost, to sit down and proclaim the Word of God. I know that we're in a busy season right now. People say, well, Christmas is on us and this thing and that thing and the schools and our work and everything. We're just so busy. But I tell you what, people are still dying and going into hell, even though that we're rushing through life, through this season. This ought to be a time in which that we would lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. So many things that we read and so many quotations reminds us that we're thankful unto God for Christ who was born into this world. And at Christmas time, we want to give gifts and we want to share what God has done for us. But I tell you what, we need not to do it just part of the time or just one time out of the year. We need to be concerned about people all year long. We need to realize that there are lost people, even at this season of the year, who need to hear the Word of God. And so we need to have the Word of God in our hearts and in our church that would burn within us and burn out the dross that is within us and leave us that we might be pure before the Lord, that we might not be afraid to go out and tell people about the Lord. Our worship service, I wonder, it's on my heart and I'm concerned about it. When we come here, is it just another service? Is it just another time that we've met together to read from the Word of God? That we have 30 minutes, we have 35 minutes in which to teach our Sunday school class, our training union class. It's over, we're through with it for another week. Or is it something that we look forward to, that we're here? And we're in the presence of God. We're serving God. We're studying His Word. We're reading about His Word, that it is as a fire. It is as a hammer that breaks down. Do we just come because that it's a certain time of the week? Or are we truly here to humble our hearts before the Lord and worship Him? This is what it ought to be. A time of worship. A time of praise. A time of thanksgiving unto the Lord. Then also we realize that the Word of God is as a hammer and it breaks into pieces. The hammer that we use, this is not the important thing. The hammer is not made for beauty. This is not something that we look at it and we say we have a beautiful mahogany handle on it. It's something that we can be proud of, that we can hold up. But it's something that is used to hammer, to beat upon, to break down. And I believe that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the tool, is the hammer that we need to use to break down. And then I realize that as we use the tool, many times as we hammer, as we beat upon something, as we pound upon it, the first time we don't break it. Many times the second time we don't break it. But we continue to tap, we continue to hammer until it has been broken. I've noticed men as they lay blocks, as they lay bricks, as they take stones and fit them in a building. You know, the way that I usually break a brick is to hit it real hard the first time and it flies all to pieces and I have to start over. But you see a man who knows his business, that he begins to pick just a little at a time. He goes across there two or three times and then finally just that easy tapping, that easy blow that he makes on it, he sees it begin to give just a little bit and then it will break open. And so we today, I think what we do, you and I am included in this, that we go out and we strike one blow. And we say, well, if this didn't break, then there's no need to strike the second time. And so what I'm trying to say is that as we go to people, and as we try to explain to them the plan of salvation, we have to go many times the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, and then many times, it's even 100 times, before that stone or that rock is broken. The message has to be hammered in, again and again and again. And then one day, that heart is broken, comes to the place in which that they accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Now, we need to continue to hammer. And you can hammer and you can nick the thing all up and not do any good. There has to be the right way. It has to go about this in the spirit of love. And so as we take the gospel, we go out. We need to expect to see people saved. But we need to continue to work, continue to give them the gospel message that they might be saved. And then I want us to look a little bit farther, putting the fire and the hammer together in the work. Now you take, I don't know, some of you may remember when they had blacksmiths around the country. My granddad was a blacksmith. They made horseshoes and they'd take just a rod and they would bend this thing. Some of them they'd get that were straight, that they already had the bend in them, but they had to put the corks on them. I believe that's what they called them. But they would take this piece of metal. And he had an old forge that you'd turn and it'd cause, I suppose that it was charcoal or something down in it, that you would turn this and it would blow, I believe they call it a bellows, that would blow air into this and the place would get red hot. And he would put this piece of metal down in there and he'd leave it until it, not till it melted, but until it became pliable. And I can see him as he would reach in with those tongs, put it out on the anvil, and he would begin to hammer this thing, begin to mold it and make it into the shape that he wanted. And then I can see him as he would get it the way that he'd want it. And then he would take it over into a piece or a tub of water, and he'd put that down in there. And he would cool it. And then he'd go over and he would take and measure it to the size of the horse's foot. But what I want you to see is that he used the heat, he used the fire, and then he used the hammer. And as he did this, we see that it made something, made the metal that was fit to be put on the horse's feet so that they could walk on the rocks, the hard roadways and the like of this. And so this is what we need to have applied to our lives. We need to have the Word of God. It's as a heat. It is also that it is as a hammer that is used in preparing our lives where that they can be used of the Lord. Now, also in this, we look at the Word of God, and there are several things, and we'll call your attention to two or three of them. But in order to use the hammer of the Word of God, we want to look at the law. The laws of God in the Word of God. Now, as we look at it, the Bible is full of the laws of God. Now, this has to be used for a person to see and to realize that they're lost. God has given us laws. God has given us commandments here in the Word of God. And we have to take these commandments and preach them and teach people that these are the things that God has said, and through this, they're brought to the place that they realize that they have broken God's laws. They have broken the commandments of God. And by preaching this, they need to see that because that they have done this, this is sin. This is violating God's law, that they have broken God's law. And as a violator of the law, they have to be punished. There has to be something done for this. There are two types of sin that we think of tonight, and this is the sin of omission and the sin of commission. Two types of them, those that we leave out and those that we do. And so as we look at this, the law justifies no man. The law says you're guilty. The law, the purpose of the law is not to make a man so that he will not sin. The law is to tell a man what he cannot do. And then also that the Scripture teaches us that if we have broken the law in one point, we're guilty of breaking it in all points. So you see, we need to see ourselves as a violator of God's law. We've broken one, and we're guilty of breaking all of them. And then also, the law, there is a penalty. The law demands that a person that does this, that he shall die. Now, he has to die for each offense. He is responsible every time that he breaks a law. He is guilty before God. And so we need to show people the things concerning the law, which is in the Word of God. And then also we need to realize that every lawbreaker needs to be or deserves to be cast into prison, and he cannot get out until that he has paid the price or it has somebody has paid it in full. And so we look at this, we need to lift up the law of the Word of God. Because if people go along and they say, well, I've done nothing wrong. But the law says that you have. You violated this law. And so we need to lift up the laws of God. And this is what hammers, this is what burns in the hearts of men's lives. There are various types of sin that people commit. And the law says that you should not do this. The law says that we should not kill. The law says we should not steal. The law says that we should not commit adultery. The law says we should not covet. The law says to love your neighbor as yourself. The law says to love God with all your heart and with all your soul, all your mind, all that there is within you. The law says this. We've violated it. We have broken it. And in this sense, we're guilty and we deserve to be cast into hell. But then also the Scripture teaches us that we have not loved the Lord with all of our heart and mind and soul. And so we deserve to be cast into hell. We have not received the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. This is the law of God that says this. And if you have not believed, you're guilty of breaking the law of God. Then also, we not only need to use the law of God, but we need to use the gospel of the Lord. We realize that the gospel is as a fire and as a hammer. We find the love of God. We see God's mercy in the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we preach, as we teach, we show the precious blood flowing from the side of the Lord Jesus Christ as He hung there dead on the cross of Calvary. We see Him as the blood trickles from His back and from His beard and from His head where the crown of thorns were. And we use this to show people what Jesus Christ did so that you might have a pardon for your sins. Yes, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have any feeling, any affection for a person who is in pain, who is suffering, certainly this ought to encourage you to want to receive what Christ has done for us. Ought to want to accept Him as Lord and Savior. And then another thing is the cross. When we lift up the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, see Him as He bleeds, as He dies for guilty man. As we tried to point out, one of the points in the message this morning, Him dying on the cross, this ought to cause men to burn in their hearts to realize an innocent man, somebody who did no sin, He took my sins and was placed upon Him. Well, that don't seem fair. That don't seem right. But that's what God did for every one of us. He let Jesus Christ take my place. He was my substitute. Then also I want us to look, and the Word of God is like a fire, saith the Lord. The Word of God is not my word, He says in this verse, is not my word like as a fire. And so if we're saved as the children of God, we can take the Word of God. And how many times have you done this? And how many times have I? We've been sad. We've been discouraged. We've taken the Word of God. We've sat down. We've read it. And our hearts have been made to be glad. Oh, we've gotten up and we've rejoiced in the Word of God. It breaks those ties that holds us down. This is the thing that we find, that it warms our heart. There is fire in the Word of God. We become sleepy. We become tired. And you know, I've gotten up in the middle of the night many times. And I couldn't go to sleep. And I'd take the Word of God. And I'd read from it. I'd be sleepy, but yet I couldn't go to sleep. I'd be tired, but I was so tired that I couldn't rest. And so I'd get up and I'd take the Word of God and maybe read for an hour. And I'd go back to bed and I'd lay down and go to sleep just as if that everything was all right. Just as peaceful, and I wouldn't wake up anymore until morning. So you see, the Word of God can work in our hearts. It can be as a fire. And then also we find that when we've grown cold, and we do, we grow cold as the children of God. We need to be warmed up. We need to be revived. We need to be stirred up. Brother, I don't know of anything that'll stir us up any more than the Word of God. We take this and we read it. Whenever we get to the place that you say, well, I don't care whether I go to church or not. I don't care whether I sing. I don't care whether I pray. I don't care whether I teach. We get cold. We get unconcerned. You say, I've done my part. Let somebody else do it. I'm not big enough. I'm not old enough. And I'll just let somebody else fill in. And I tell you what, when we begin to get the Word of God out and begin to study it and we begin to read it, we begin to get revived. And you know, that's what happens in our revival meetings. We come here day after day or night after night and sit in the preaching of God's Word. And it's the preaching of God's Word that causes us to be revived. We begin to feed on the Word of God. But when we push away, when we say we don't want it, we won't listen to it, why, we begin to starve. We begin to get weak. And whenever you don't take nourishment into your physical body, you begin to get weak. You begin to get nervous. You begin to get, you talk to people, you cut them off short. Well, that's the same way in a spiritual sense. We get cold. We need to be revived. Then also we need to look at this. As we know the Word of God and we know what it did in our lives, we ought to take it and share it with somebody else. You know, if this was good enough, if this was enough to save us from our sins, what God has given us in His Word, somebody brought the Word to us and they preached to us, they showed us how to be saved, then what we ought to do is take it to somebody else and show them how to be saved. We ought to go to them and preach to them the Word of God. And if it's good enough for us, if it worked on us, if the Spirit of God took the Word and were brought life unto us, certainly it has the power to bring life unto somebody else. Now, because we do not see people saved in every service, this is not a sign that God the Holy Spirit is not capable of saving. Nor is it a sign that the Word of God has lost its power or its effect. It may be one of two things. Either we're not doing what we should, we're not going out and we're not hammering and taking the Word of God, or else we are hammering, and as we're pounding, as we're preaching, as we're teaching, the Word is being sown, and one day there's going to come a harvest. The rock is going to be broken. That heart that has been hardened and said, "No, preacher, I don't want to listen to you," and they keep coming back, one day we'll see them to be saved. And I realize that we need to continue to preach the Word of God, because the Word of God, He says, is not my word as a fire, is not my word as a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. And so today, I'm not going to resort to other sources other than the Word of God to try to get people saved. I'm not going to do this, and I don't want this church to do it. I want us to continue to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to preach the cross of Calvary. I want us to continue to preach the laws of God, what God has said in His Word. And so, people today, we can't clean up their lives and improve their living condition and say this will bring salvation. Now, many churches are resorting to this. Get them cleaned up. Do something for them. Get them out of their environment, and they will accept the Lord Jesus Christ. There's another group of people who says we'll stop them from drinking, and we get their lives changed in this way, then we will get them saved. Brother, you've got to get them saved first, and then God will take that lust and that desire away. You get them cleaned up, and you have no assurance that they'll ever accept the Lord as their personal Savior. But on the authority of God's Word, you get them saved, you give them the gospel, and they trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, and we have the assurance that their life will be cleaned up because they become new creatures in Christ. They're changed. They've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we realize that the gospel is what the Apostle Paul preached. He preached it in more times than not. More times than one, because he preached it and he talked about it there in Corinthians. He talked about it in Galatians. He preaches it throughout the New Testament. As he preaches, he lifts up the Lord Jesus Christ. We find that Philip, when he went down to the road that leads to Gaza, or from Gaza to Jerusalem, that he preached to the eunuch, and he opened the scriptures where he was reading from the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, and he preached unto him the Lord Jesus Christ. We find Peter in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, and he goes down to the house of Cornelius, and he preaches unto him the Lord Jesus Christ. And we go through, we see in the 6th chapter of the book of Acts, where that Stephen, he preached to them the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter on the day of Pentecost, he preached the Lord Jesus Christ. He preached the gospel. And so we today, we need to preach the Word of God, because that by no other means, no other message, is anybody going to be saved. And so we need to continue to preach the Word of God, because God's Word is as a fire that burns up. It can burn to bring comfort to us. It can burn to bring conviction to the lost people. The Word of God can bring us to the place by the hammer to break us to the place that we will serve Him, and then it will break the heart of those who are lost that they might accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that the sooner our nation, the world in which that we live in, the religious people come back to preaching the simple gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the sooner that we're going to see a revival that will sweep this nation, and we'll be able to sing the victor song, that we'll be able to be triumphant over sin and the things of the world. The gospel must be preached to men as they are. And so tonight, this is our job, this is our responsibility as a Christian, to preach the gospel, preach the Word. And even though that there are those out here who are not preaching the truth of God's Word, If we spend all day out here fighting them, we're not going to preach the gospel ourselves. I find in many of the letters that I get or many of the papers that I read that they spend maybe 4 or 5 pages in their papers condemning, tearing down something that somebody else has done. Then they will write a letter back concerning those people that have torn them down. And so it's a continual warfare, and the lost people continue to die and to go into hell. And so what we need to do is to continue to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to continue to preach and teach the Word of God. Give them the gospel. Give them the laws of God. Lift up the cross of Calvary that men might be saved. And so tonight I want to encourage you as a member of this body that we would, as we look forward to the days that are ahead and even to our next service, that we would look forward to bringing some lost person in where they can hear the gospel that they might be saved. I'd like to see our church to be revived, to be brought to the place that we would be concerned enough that we as teachers and as workers, that we will go out and we'll talk to lost people and encourage them to receive Christ and then to come and unite with His church. Not go and join any church, but join the church here that preaches and teaches the Word. And if they don't live in this community, there are churches throughout the land that do preach and teach the truth of God's Word. This is what I like to see today. Brother Wells pointed this out one day in his message, that a lot of preachers are concerned about a soul being saved as long as they're going to join our church. But if there's somebody over in Cincinnati that we witness to, and they're going to join his church, a lot of preachers say, well, I'm not concerned about that individual. Brother, if they need to be saved, if they trust Christ as their Savior, and they live over there and they can't come here, then that's where they ought to go. They ought to be a member of that church. If they live here and they're saved, they ought to be a member in this church, in this body. They ought to work with us. See, so as you look at your life today, let the fires of God from His Word burn in our hearts. There may be someone that's lost here tonight who has never accepted the Lord as your personal Savior. We invite you tonight to receive Him. But as we think of it tonight, Christian people, let me challenge you that we go out, and maybe from this hour forward, that we would turn our lives back unto God. Because we've done this in the times past. We've gone out and we've brought people. We've invited people. We've called on the telephone. Let's don't just wait until revival, but let's do it now. Because we have no assurance that next year that we're going to be here. So let's do it as God leads us. Let's go where God leads us and be willing to follow. As we stand and sing our hymn of invitation.